KNOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. Over the past two legislative sessions, conservative lawmakers have prioritized an amendment that would allow public money to be spent at private schools. Wednesday was supposed to be the grand showdown where the state Senate would take a vote on it. The measure did not make it to the floor, though, because it didn't have enough votes to pass. It's rare that legislation will go on the floor calendar unless it's guaranteed to get enough votes to go through, but as an amendment to the Alaska Constitution, Senate Joint Resolution 9 needs two-thirds approval to pass, and a sizable contingent of Democrats and moderate Republicans have vocally opposed it. As many suspected, the support was just not there on Wednesday. After delaying the floor session for a couple of hours to talk strategy, leadership announced they would hold the bill in legislative limbo, that is, the Senate Rules Committee, instead of bringing it to a vote. Senator Mike Dunleavy, a MATSU Republican who's sponsoring the bill, says that does not mean the bill is dead.
I know some folks may look at this and say, this is a way of politely killing the bill. That's not my intention at all. That's not the intention of leadership. It's, again, just getting some additional information and having some additional discussions with folks this week.
Dunleavy adds he wants to see the amendment back on the Senate schedule as soon as possible, and he thinks there's value in having a floor debate even if it's not certain the measure will pass.
You want to be careful that there's not a gaming of the system where all the decisions are made off the floor. There should be floor debates, there should be floor votes, and there'll be votes that pass and there'll be votes that fail.
Senator Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican who's been a firm opponent of the measure, says it's going to be an uphill battle for those who want it to pass. While the amendment may not be technically dead, it's arguably comatose.
Clearly, they didn't have the votes. They needed 14 votes. And I talked to several members of the, you know, of the caucus who also opposed to it. And, you know, I think at least five members of our 15-member caucus are very much opposed to it.
Stephen says pulling SJR 9 allows Senate leadership to keep the measure alive and save a little bit of face. Like Dunleavy, he would not have minded having a discussion on the floor about what the measure means for the state. While Dunleavy argues that SJR 9 could expand options for students and their parents, Stevens is worried it would lead to an expensive voucher system and drain resources from public schools. He was prepared to speak to that on Wednesday. A companion to SJR 9 has also been introduced in the House, but has yet to come to a vote in that chamber. Any amendment to the Alaska Constitution needs two-thirds approval from both chambers of the legislature and then support from a majority of registered voters in the state. And the House of Alaska, the Alaska House has passed a $9.1 billion state operating budget by a vote of 32-6. Minority Democrats proposed numerous amendments that were rejected, including some previously offered in the House Finance Committee. That includes $101 million for schools to help avert district layoffs or other cuts. House Finance members said the discussion should be had when the bills dealing with an increase in the per-pupil funding formula reached the committee. Democratic Representative Les Guerra set a goal of offering the proposal on the floor was to keep up pressure to increase school funding. In committee Wednesday, co-chair Representative Bill Stoltz said someday these might be looked back on as the good old times, alluding to the expectation the state will need to rely on savings to get by until revenues increase. The measure next goes to the Senate. The effort at allowing village public safety officers to carry guns has cleared a major hurdle this week when the Alaska House unanimously passed a bill that does just that. The decision is now in the hands of legislatures in Juneau, and while the bill passed 38-0, the issue on the ground is more nuanced. Jacob Tabithluk from Nunapichuk is an 8-year veteran of the VPSOs and said he initially had mixed feelings about being armed, and that's because many of the people he meets in his job are people he's known for years.
In the back of your head, you think, if you carry a firearm, how is this person going to react, or how is this person that you've dealt with for so long being unarmed and going to a call where there's guns involved? Having someone else point a firearm at you, it, lack of better words, it freaks you out to where you realize how quick things can go bad.
Sergeant Jonathan Otto has been a VPSO in Kagiganak for 20 years. He says conversations with community members have largely been in favor of arming, and that's critical because communities will have some say in whether their VPSOs are armed.
I've been told by some people that it's about time you guys are getting armed because of how the young people are getting more aggressive. that we should be able to go home to our own families instead of just being killed.
Two officers have been killed in the line of duty, the most recent being Manicotek's Thomas Madol. That's what spurred the most recent legislative push. That way, lawmakers that law would require some level of training standards. Otto says part of that training came very early for most of the VPSOs in the program.
Most of the people in the rural villages have been taught to hunt with a long rifle. So, and most of them have been told about not pointing a gun to anybody. We've been told since we were kids when our dads taught us how to use a gun, so.
Tabithluk says he ultimately is in favor of officer safety and says guns are a part of the lifestyle in his community. Having a VPSO armed just makes sense.
I don't care if it's a shack. You're going to find some kind of gun. And you'll see kids walking around holding guns, going out hunting. And it's a common thing in the villages. And for a VPSO to carry a sidearm, I don't think there's anything, it would be anything new. A trooper comes out with a sidearm, a kid walks up to him and looks at his sidearm and walks away. It's going to be nothing new.
The bill to allow arming VPSOs now goes to the Alaska Senate. If passed, it would go to the governor's desk for signature. And another record was set in the Iditarod Trail Invitational to Nome. Italian cyclist Ossilia Vistarini set a new women's record for the 1,000-mile race at 16 days, 6 hours, and 25 minutes. This top time follows a string of new records set in every cycling division of this year's race. The top speeds are attributed to the year's lack of fresh snow. That meant cyclists could stay on their bikes and did not have to dismount to climb through drifts. Kevin Breitenbach set a new record in the 350-mile race to McGrath at 2 days, 4 hours, and 43 minutes. Heather Best set a new record to McGrath in the women's division at 2 days, 14 hours, and 13 minutes. Jeff Oatley set a new record to Nome at 10 days, 2 hours, and 53 minutes. And Nome's own Phil Hofstetter arrived third into Nome at 12 days and 6 hours. 6 more competitors remain on the trail to Nome, 1 on bike and 5 others on foot. To hear about Phil Hofstetter's 2014 race experience, tune into Profiles after the 9 o'clock and 6 o'clock weather. Price of gold in New York is up $6.50 to $13.77.60 an ounce. Silver's up 20 cents to $21.38, and zinc is at 90 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is scheduled to arrive on time in Nome at 11:41. Unofficially 13 degrees outside the KNOM studios 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.